Now let's please turn in our Bibles to that passage that I read earlier, 1 Corinthians and chapter 4. We're going to look at the whole chapter this evening, 1 Corinthians and chapter 4. You remember why Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians. He was in Ephesus at the end of his time there. He planted a church in Ephesus, third missionary journey. And at the end of his stay, he wrote this letter because he'd had communication from the church in Corinth. And he realized that there were a number of issues, a number of problems in the church in Corinth that he needed to deal with. And this letter, he goes through this list of problems that there were in the church in Corinth, this list that he has compiled from different sources. And he works his way through that list. So there are issues here that have come to his attention through this lady called Chloe and her household. They've communicated with him and they've told him there are issues in the church. So he has made a list of those, and then the church themselves have written to him. And then there are other sources from whom he has heard about problems. And the first problem that he deals with is the issue of divisions in the church. And he began dealing with it in chapter 1 from verse 10. And he highlights the issue in chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, "What I mean is that each of you says, 'I follow Paul,' or 'I follow Apollos,' or 'I follow Cephas,' or 'I follow Christ.'" So the church was divided in that they had become followers of men. Some in the church had become followers of Paul, others had become followers of Peter, others had become followers of Apollos, and so on. The church was divided. And he began to deal with it in chapter verse and 1:10, and we followed his way of dealing with this. And this evening he's still on the same topic. And in this passage in chapter 4, he writes on this issue of judging the servants of God. That's the topic, or that's the theme of chapter 4, judging the servants of God. Now you may say, well, why has he brought this into this topic that he's dealing with? He's dealing with divisions in the church. Well, what's judging servants of God got to do with it? Well, if you think about it, if you have a church where some are saying, "I follow Paul," and others are saying, "I follow Peter," and others are saying, "I follow Apollos," there must be judging of servants taking place. Because what some of them are saying is, "Paul is a better preacher. Paul is more faithful in his preaching. Paul is more powerful in his preaching. Paul is more spiritual than Peter or Apollos." You see? And others are saying, no. Yeah, Paul's okay, but Peter is the better preacher. Peter is more spiritual. Peter is a greater instrument in the hands of God. It's Peter that we follow. So you see, when you become followers of men, by implication, you are judging. Because some of them were saying, "Paul is better than Peter. Peter isn't an effective servant. When Peter comes to Corinth and preaches, not a lot happens. We don't get moved in our hearts. We don't get excited. We don't get worked up by Peter's preaching. Oh, it's okay. No, not bad. You know, I'm not saying it's bad. It's okay. But Peter isn't the kind of preacher we really like. He isn't a powerful preacher. Apollos, now there's a powerful preacher. And Paul, yeah, he's okay, but very intellectual, you know. Whereas Apollos, well, that's the great preacher." So you see, by doing this, by saying, "I'm of Paul," they're actually saying, "Paul is better than Peter. Peter isn't such a great servant of God." They are making judgment upon God's servants. Think about it, and you will see this is what must happen. And this is one of the great reasons why this sort of behavior is wrong. So Paul, in this passage, deals with this issue of judging the servants of God. Now, can I just say this? As we work our way through this passage, I really pray you will find it liberating. I read this passage and I studied it. And I came away thinking, there is teaching in this passage which is enormously liberating for God's people. It's a thrilling passage. I do know when you first read it, you're having to work your way through and think, what on earth is it going on about here? But may I say this, I found it a thrilling passage. It's gripped me. And I found it a liberating passage. And I trust that this evening, if God the Spirit by His grace comes and works among us, I really pray this might have a huge impact upon the life of this church, that it thrills us and liberates us. Now, Paul in this passage is saying four things. And I'm going to work my way through the passage, section by section, to show you the four things that he is saying. The first thing that he is saying is this. He is saying, we are not to judge the servants of God. We are not to judge the servants of God. Look at it from verse 1. He says, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now that's taking it on from the previous passage where he has talked about all of them being servants. And then he says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And then he says, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time. He is saying to the Corinthians, you Corinthians, some of you are saying, Paul is the great preacher, Peter isn't such a great preacher, Peter isn't such a great servant of Christ, Apollos is okay but not such a great servant, Paul is the man. Others are saying, Peter is the great servant of Christ, Paul's okay but not such a great servant. And he says, you have no right to make such judgments. You have no right to make such judgments. Now, let me very briefly clear up a matter that might confuse us, and then I'll get into this in more detail. Please remember, Paul is here talking about service and not sin. Paul isn't saying, do not judge a person when he's sinning. In fact, the next chapter, chapter 5, he tells them off for not judging somebody. Isn't that interesting? In chapter 4, he says, do not judge. In chapter 5, he says, you should judge. Now, of course, it's a different matter. Because in chapter 5, he's dealing with a matter of a brother who is sinning. A man in the church is sinning. And so he says, now here are these people sinning, and you tolerate them. Well, you shouldn't tolerate them. You should actually expel the person. You should make a judgment. You should say to yourself, this person is sinning. He's doing wrong against God. Put him out of fellowship. Make a judgment. So when it comes to sin, if I fall into sin, somebody else here falls into sin, and it's a clear sin. You read the Word of God and you say, this behavior, we saw this person, and it was quite clear that there was sin involved. Well, you don't say, well, we mustn't judge, you know. We are to judge. The Bible tells us to judge. But this passage, this passage isn't about sin. This passage is about service. Peter wasn't sinning. Peter had come to Corinth to serve by preaching. Apollos was preaching. And they were judging their service. And they were saying, oh, Peter isn't such an effective servant. Apollos isn't such an effective servant. It's Paul who's the effective servant. So we follow Paul. And he's saying, you're making judgments on God's servants with regard to their service. You have no right. You do not do it. You have no right to do it. Verse 5, therefore do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of his heart. He says, you don't do it. God will do it. Now, what is it that prevents Christians from being wholehearted in their service for the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it that stops Christians from giving themselves to the Lord wholeheartedly in the local church and serving Him wholeheartedly? Well, of course, there's a number of reasons, but one of the biggest reasons is judgment and criticism. Isn't it? You know how it is, okay? You have a heart to serve the Lord. You feel that you have a gift that God has graciously given you. And you love the Lord. And you want to give yourself to Him. And you want to use your gifts for Him. And in your prayer you say to the Lord, I know that you've graciously given me this gift. I yearn to use it because I so much love you. And I'm so grateful to you for granting me salvation in Christ. I want the opportunity to use this gift. And then the person comes to the church and they use their gift. And others begin to judge them. Has it been used well? Did they do that thing well? Was it up to the standards expected by this church? And of course the person is crushed. And the person, you know, this happens again and again. They say, I just wanted to use my gifts for the Lord. And criticism and judgment crushes people and strangles service. Do you see why I'm saying that this is a liberating passage? My friends, if you ever judge a person's service, I emphasize service, not talking about sin. You judge a person's service. Was the preacher this morning good? Were the musicians today good? Was the tea being served well? Were the flowers done well? The person who greeted me at the door, did he do his job well? Can I say this, and I say this from this passage, we have no right to make a judgment. We have no right. And if we do this, we will crush God's people. We will discourage God's people. And we will strangle service in the church. Paul is saying, don't do this. Can you imagine how Peter would have felt? Peter quite evidently made a trip to Corinth. I think he must have done because some in the church had become followers of Peter. Now they didn't listen to his sermons on MP3. He must have made a visit to Corinth. And so can you imagine maybe Peter sometime later met somebody from Corinth and they say to him, well, there are some in the church who thought you were wonderful. And there is the party of Peter in the church in Corinth, and they're yearning for you to make another visit and preach because they loved your preaching. They've become your followers, but there are others in the church who thought you were really very poor. Can you imagine how Peter must have felt? There are others in the church who thought your preaching wasn't very deep, wasn't theological, wasn't doctrinal, philosophical, because you're just a simple fisherman, and you used simple stories and made simple points, and some didn't like you. Can you imagine how Peter felt? And maybe Peter thought, I don't think I'll go there again. You know, it's so discouraging. He must have been crushed. So Paul says here, do not judge the servants of God with regard to their service. Now, brethren, this is a command. And I urge each one of us, take it seriously, please. Let us encourage. And I'll come back to that in a moment. I'm going to come to that bit in a moment. But let me say briefly here. Let us encourage one another and pray for one another rather than judging and discouraging. Well, that's the first thing he says. The second thing he says is really very startling and I hope very liberating. He says in the second place, we are not to judge ourselves. We're not to judge ourselves. Look at what he says in verse 3. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. Now, I've talked about what is it that discourages service in the local church, that crushes people when they want to serve. And I've said one of the things is criticism from others. But I think even more than that is self-criticism. I think we get into this way of thinking, we sort of set standards that my service for the Lord should be here. Where does that standard come from? It's not in the Bible. Have you ever noticed in the Bible there are no standards at which all service to Christ must reach? Have you ever noticed that? The Bible says God raises preachers, but the Bible never says the preaching is to be up to that standard. The Bible talks about instruments being played to accompany the singing of God's people, but it never says grade 8. It doesn't, does it? We have no idea of the level of preaching in the churches in the New Testament or in the music or in any kind of service. Have you even noticed when the Lord Jesus commends his servant for their service? You know this parable at the end of Matthew, and he talks to the sheep and the goats. And he says there to those who are his people, he says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Now, I don't notice here, "For I was hungry and you gave me 5-star Egon Rone banquet." Doesn't say that. "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me the best drink available in the best supermarket in your country." Doesn't say that. "You gave me drink. I was a stranger and the welcome you gave me, you rolled out the red carpet, it was fit for princes. You welcomed me." Because the people who did it out of a love for him. And some of God's people are able to do things really, really well, and some people aren't able to do it really, really well, but they serve the Lord from the heart. And this is a problem I think we sometimes have, in that we begin to set standards, we begin to imagine that there's a certain standard of service and I must attain it. Now, of course, we must do the best for the Lord. I'm not in any way giving license to carelessness. And I'm not saying, look, you just serve in any way you want, just be careless, it doesn't really matter how you do it and so on. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is we need to make a balance here. We need to have a balance. On the one hand, we must say to ourselves, I will serve the Lord to the best of my ability. But we mustn't let these standards discourage our service and say, well, I can't do very much, you know. And when I do something, I do it poorly, so I'm not going to do it. It's a very interesting phrase here. Paul is saying, I don't judge my service for the Lord. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I don't judge myself. So he says, basically, when I go on my missionary journeys, and the first missionary journey, I went to Galatia and I preached to the churches of southern Turkey. And I went back to my home church in Antioch. And I didn't sit back and say, now, did I do it well? Was it okay? Was the preaching okay? And so, I did what I could. I went to southern Galatia with the gospel. I preached the gospel. People became Christians. And I helped them to establish local churches. And I've done that. And second missionary journey, he goes to various cities and preaches. You never find anybody in the Bible, in the Old Testament or the New Testament, becoming so anguished about their level of service. You know, you don't read of Moses, now, when I went and talked with Pharaoh, did I do it well? When I led the Israelites out of Egypt, when I touched the Red Sea with my stick, did I touch it properly and so on? You don't read that. They did what they could. And some of it probably wasn't very good. And probably some of Paul's preaching in southern Galatia, because he didn't know the language, probably wasn't, you know, of the highest standard. But you see, he wouldn't allow this to cripple his service for the Lord. If he had become obsessed with self-examination in his service, not talking about sin, we must be self-examinatory in our sin, but if he'd become obsessed with self-examination, was my service accepted? Was it good? Did people think it was good? Were people happy with it? And so on. He wouldn't have gone on the second missionary journey and the third missionary journey. It is, you know, one of the marks of an effective servant, that he doesn't judge himself. He doesn't allow these sort of standards to cripple his service. We love the Lord and we give to him what we can and we place it in his hands. We don't judge ourselves, we don't judge others. And it is liberating, because we then just bring it to the Lord and he decides. So he says in the first place, we are not to judge the servants of God. He says in the second place, we are not to judge ourselves. And then he says in the third place, he says, when we judge others, we fall into the sin of pride. When we judge others, we fall into the sin of pride. There is this passage which is from verse 6. All the way to verse 14. And it's quite a strange passage. It's not always the easiest passage to grasp. And there is an enormous amount of sarcasm here. He is being sarcastic. Now, I appreciate this is a problem, because I don't know if you're aware of this, but sarcasm is a uniquely European thing. In Kenya, I used to train pastors, and when one of my students was preaching, I would go and listen. I'd be sitting in the congregation listening to him. And we had this Ethiopian student who was a brilliant preacher, and he was preaching in this church in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and he'd never heard of sarcasm. And he took all these words as if they were exactly what Paul was saying. So you see where he says in verse 8, already you have all you want. That's sarcastic. Already you have become rich. Without us you have become kings. He said, you're so great, you know. You're so spiritual. You've got everything that you need. You've got all the theological knowledge, biblical knowledge, knowledge of the Old Testament. You've got all the knowledge that you need to be able to judge between Paul and Peter and Apollos. You've got all that knowledge, haven't you, you guys? This is sarcasm. It's irony. And what he's trying to say in this passage is, you are being proud and arrogant. Because it is arrogance to judge the servants of God. You think about it. You know, we talk about somebody who's preached somewhere, and we've listened to their preaching. Or somebody in some other way has served the Lord, has done some work of service to the Lord. And we begin to pass judgment. You know how they say it's a roast preacher for Sunday lunch. And they begin to pass judgment. Now you think about it, it is sheer arrogance. It's pride to do this. And this whole passage, I'm not going to go through it all, but this whole passage, he is trying to bring them to their senses. And he's saying, in doing this judgment, you're actually being very proud and very arrogant, and this is a great sin. So that's the third thing that he says. He says in the first place, we are not to judge the servants of God. We're not to judge ourselves. When we judge, we fall into the sin of pride. And then fourthly and finally, in this passage, he says, we are to imitate his example in this matter. He says there in verse 16, I urge you then, be imitators of me. Now I want you to think about this. I want you to think about Paul's writings when he talks about other servants of God. There's a lot, you know, in Paul's letters. Paul writes about some servants of God in the letter to the Philippians. He writes about Timothy and Epaphroditus. And this is what he says. This is just one passage. There are many passages where he writes about God's servant. But let me just read this to you. This is from Philippians chapter 2 about Timothy and Epaphroditus. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. I am all the more eager to send him, that you may rejoice at seeing him and that I may be less anxious, for he has your interests at heart. Now, is there a breath of criticism there? Timothy wasn't perfect. And Timothy was Paul's closest colleague. And I'm sure Paul saw many things in Timothy that weren't right. He saw many things in Timothy that perhaps could have been done better. He saw many mistakes that Timothy made. And Epaphroditus had come to visit him. And I'm sure he saw things in Epaphroditus that he thought, well, that could have been done better. But you see, Paul doesn't do that. Paul commends the two men to the church in Philippi. And he speaks warmly of them. This morning we were reading Philemon. And it struck me, you know, I don't think I'd ever noticed this. And Mike brought this out in the sermon this morning. And Paul says to Philemon about Onesimus, receive him as you would receive me. Now, Onesimus was a slave. And of course, a slave in Roman society, well, in any society, is the lowest of the low. And Paul is an apostle. And Paul is a church planter. And by the time he wrote to Philemon, he's been on three missionary journeys, and has planted churches in southern Turkey and in Europe. And yet he identifies himself with Onesimus and says, receive him as you would receive me, because he's a good man. When he commends Onesimus back to Philemon, the words that he writes about Philemon, there is no criticism here. Now Onesimus got a lot of things wrong. He ran away from Philemon. And he probably used that money that he had run away with, or whatever the property was. But Paul isn't critical. And it is a mark of Paul's writings. He does not criticize the servants of God. He speaks warmly of them. And he commends them to God's people. And here he says to the Corinthians, imitate me in this matter. Look at the way that I behave. You know, even the church in Corinth, which was a church so full of sin, you remember when we looked at chapter 1, he says about them, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge. In other words, when he thought about the church in Corinth, he didn't think about their sin and their weaknesses. He thought about the good things, and he gave thanks to God for the good things in the church. What a wonderful way to be a Christian. Not critical, not crushing, not judging, but always encouraging and building up God's people that they might serve him. Well, I found it a great blessing and liberating. And I really pray that God helps us to take these lessons so that we won't judge others or ourselves, but will serve him wholeheartedly. Let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for its very practical instruction to us. And Lord, where we have judged others, and where we've allowed ourselves not to be as devoted as we should be because of self-criticism, forgive us, Lord. Help us to be mature in this. Help us not to set standards for others or for ourselves, but always to remember that you are the judge of God's people. And help us, Lord, to be liberated that we might serve you. We might offer whatever we can for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing the hymn from Cop's Praise, number 151. O church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ our captain, for now the weak can say they are strong in the strength that God has given. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies. Let's rise to sing 151 in Cop's Praise.